Gonzales story. One of the Gonzales memos dubbed certain parts of the Geneva Conventions quaint. The New York Times mentioned that quote, the quaint quote, in a November 11th report that ran with a sidebar, including the entire quaint passage. Though the Times got the story right, the next day it ran a correction, skittishly apologizing for not including the entire quote twice in the previous day's paper. Elsewhere in the coverage, in a November 11th column on WashingtonPost.com, Dan Frumkin surveys coverage of Gonzales and finds most top media outlets began their reports by stressing Gonzales's Hispanic ethnicity and his closeness with the president rather than his controversial legal views. What are your thoughts about the Gonzales coverage overall?
Well, I think that the coverage has been awful, absolutely awful. I mean, the two main points being he's Hispanic, and secondly, he's close confidant of the president, and third, probably his humble beginnings, saying he's someone who we should make attorney general. Unfortunately, and very unfortunately, the coverage reflects what seems to be a growing position in the Democratic Party. So there was an article in the New York Times saying the Democrats, while they may ask some hard questions or may look at Gonzales, essentially his confirmation is going to go through, and they're saving their powder for when they get a right-wing guy in the Supreme Court, and they want to oppose that. To me, it's a combination of the coverage and an utter failure of the Democrats to recognize what's going on here. What we're doing is we're basically elevating a guy who took us off the page of Geneva and put us on the page of torture. That's what we're doing. We're rewarding somebody who went outside the law and outside the bounds of what we consider civilization in our society. Just remarkable to me, and remarkable to me that that isn't the focus of both the coverage in the papers as well as of the Democrats. Even if the Democrats were to lose this fight, this is a fight that is about core values in our society and about the rule of law.
Though you've been quoted as a critic of Gonzales in several news stories, perhaps more in international media than in U.S. media, you recently tried to place an op-ed column about Gonzales in a number of newspapers around the country. Tell us about that.
Well, I wrote an op-ed that really went through this memo and said, what are we doing here elevating someone who was involved in promoting abuse that led to torture at Abu Ghraib? And I sent it to really scores of media outlets, the usual ones that I sometimes get published in, the less progressive ones that I don't get published in often, but I usually get my op-eds picked up. I never even got back a response, not even one, nothing, blank. Nobody was willing to take it on. No one was willing to frontally take on Gonzales and even print a strong opinion with it, maybe an alternate opinion. So we're really talking about a silencing of dissent on this particular nomination, and it's not just in the media. You know, when you saw people like Senator Schumer come out after his nomination saying, well, I think the words to the effect that it's probably going to be okay, you just have to say to yourself, has our country gone just mad? Has it just gone mad that we can look at pictures of Abu Ghraib, trace it back to the White House, and then say, elevate this guy?
That was Michael Ratner speaking with Counterspin Steve Rendell in 2004.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6:02, and next is Bread and Roses. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival. The 29th annual festival takes place this year from July 1st through 4th. And includes performers like the Tedeschi Truck Band, Jimmy Vaughn and the Tilt-A-Whirl Band, Samantha Fish, and many, many more. Festival passes are on sale at early bird prices until May 31st. More information about the festival performers, the options for passes, and other information can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2016.
Two or three hours after I left church, I heard this noise, and they were saying, the dike has broken.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Vanport Mosaic Festival, May 27th through May 30th, celebrating the preservation of the history of Vanport and its residents. The Vanport Mosaic Festival is 4 days of art, culture, historical exhibits, lectures, and tours that will engage audiences in a deeper understanding of this chapter in Portland's history. This includes screenings of short documentary films, performances of Cottonwood in the Flood, and much, much more. Again, the Vanport Mosaic Festival is May 27th through May 30th, celebrating the preservation of the history of Vanport and its residents, taking place all over the Portland metro area. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon Zoo Summer Concerts, presenting Case Lang Veers, an evening of musing with songwriters Nico Case, Katie Lang, and Laura Veers, Saturday, July 2nd at the Oregon Zoo. Tickets and information for Case Lang Veers at the zoo on July 2nd are available at zooconcerts.com.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Bread and Roses is a diverse collective of women-identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice and equity, globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. Among these topics, individuals of our collective have the freedom to discuss themes that they are passionate about. If you would like to follow our story, you can like our page on Facebook, by getting updates and viewing behind-the-scenes photos. We are also on the web at www.kbu.fm/breadandroses. If you are interested in hosting, producing, engineering, or joining the collective, please contact KBOO's volunteer manager at volunteer@kbu.org. My name is Jordan Michelle, and tonight on Bread and Roses, I have three guests visiting from Los Angeles, California, and I would like them to introduce themselves, starting with Melody.
Hi, my name is Melody. I've known Jordan Michelle for 10 years now, and I'm looking forward to our conversations.
Awesome.
Hi, my name is Monique Nicole Moreno, and I've known Jordan for about 30 minutes.
My name is Lucy Leek, and I'm also visiting Portland area for the first time, coming from LA, and excited to experiment and play on the radio.
Yes, awesome. Thank you, ladies, for coming. I also have my sister, Nia, traveling from New York City, who's going to be joining us for the second half of the show. So I'll have these three lovely ladies with me for the first half. And I'm glad you guys came. This week has been a really exciting week for me because I've had my friends come up here to see me, and it makes for a really great show that was kind of a coincidence, pretty much. So ladies, I wanted you to come on the show to talk about what feminism means to you, and also I would like to talk about the reason why you guys came up to Portland and to explore a class that you guys are taking at University of Santa Monica, which Melody introduced me to about 2 years ago, and she just was so passionate about it, and it's called spiritual psychology, and it was just so interesting, something I've never heard before in a class that I never knew you could take. So I'm really excited to hear about that. So if you each want to start off just explaining to me what feminism means to you, and if it doesn't mean anything to you, or just explain your thoughts about it. This is a feminist talk show, and this is a place where we can be comfortable, and it's a safe space, and where we can share our thoughts as women. Anyone want to start off?
Sure.
Okay. Start off.
All right, question.
Yes.
Tell me.
What does feminism mean to you?
All right, so talking about the master's program at USM.
Okay.
This is what I'm learning.
Okay.
That we're divine beings having a human experience. So for me, in that regard, gender doesn't play in anymore. It's more of connecting as far as energy goes with people and resonating and being mere reflections of unconditional love.
Okay.
So I'm on that level.
All right, you on a whole nother level. Okay. Anybody else wanna?
I definitely resonate with what Monique's saying.
For sure. What does feminism mean to you, Melody?
Well, in that sense that we are all equal, that we're all divine beings having this human experience. And at the same time, I think it's cool to bring it down to this human experience that we're having and like recognizing this amazing time and period where women are really coming to who they are and honoring the beautiful divine feminine that we are and being able to express that out into the world, however that looks for us.
Right.
And at the same time, owning like all those aspects of us that had been put away of strength, of all the way to things like our expression in comedy, like all these different forms and like really owning that part of ourselves. And then also by doing that, we allow men be able to embrace that feminine aspects of themselves as well, which is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Let's see.
So I was a gender studies major for a little while and then I switched over to anthropology, and for a little while a lot of talk about feminism seemed so heated to me, and I can appreciate that because there's a lot going on, there's a lot involved with it, there's a lot of struggle that people are going through in order to get to a new place with how they're able to show up in the world, how people receive them, how we communicate and interact with each other. And I mean, there's been a lot of beautiful growth, I think, as in communities where people are understanding, like, hey, it's not just about one perspective anymore. It's about everyone has their own perspective that they're bringing to the table. Everyone is having a unique experience. And how can we engender, like, a deeper sense of compassion and understanding for each other, regardless of what you look like to me, you know, regardless of age, race, ability, you know, feminine, masculine, female, male, whatever that is. So to me at this point, I'm seeing feminism as a word, an idea, an ideology that represents a way of thinking that goes so much deeper. So it's to me about how can I have respect for you as another person, regardless of anything that you're about? Like, not attached to what you do, what you like, where you come from, what your interests are, where you're at politically. Like, I see feminism as being a more liberal and open ideology, but even without that, it's like, as a feminist, as a person, as a divine being having a human experience, I really want to bring forward my best self in all situations. And if I want that from other people, it's my responsibility to have that going on in myself. So I see feminism as representing an aspect of that. It's like, I'm accepting you. I'm open to experiencing you. And I'm not putting any walls up around like what you need to be in order for me to do that. So I see feminism as largely as acceptance. And then even beyond that, as being just loving each other, allowing it to be okay that we're not all in the same place, but holding space for us to be in the same place. And just to accept that not everyone is going to have the same exact perspective, but we can all be holding hands together. We can be talking about it together. We can be open to having each other in each other's lives in a really open and accepting way.
Okay. So when you're speaking on this connection, this energy, are you saying between women? Are you saying just in general, like disregarding gender? I heard that. So is it just, you know, us as a people creating that energy? Or are you speaking like it's women empowerment, like, you know?
Well, I think at this time, because of the history that we've all been experiencing, mm-hmm. that, you know, everything that's happened up until now, it's been really important to have that conversation be about women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, to get to the place where we feel like we do have power, mm-hmm. recognizing that we are powerful, recognizing that we're creators, recognizing that we're taking a piece of what's going on, mm-hmm. taking ownership of that.
Okay.
And really looking at ourselves like we have worth and value.
Mm-hmm.
So if a woman or an individual is not at that place of recognizing their own worth and value,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
it's important that whoever that is,
mm-hmm.
is able to find that within themselves and then contribute that to mm-hmm. the larger community.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're coming together and saying, like, you have worth and value, I have worth and value intrinsically, regardless, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And then for people who have had the privilege of that, it's not coming at them with like a, now I have the power and you don't,
mm-hmm.
because that's not what we're about, right?
Right.
So it's that equal playing field,
mm-hmm.
of like, we have always had worth and value. We didn't necessarily recognize it, or we mm-hmm. were made to believe that we did not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're on the same page now. And I don't wish to take away your value, because that happened to me and I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But coming together and saying, we're equally valuable, where can we go from here?
Right, right. Okay. I see what you're saying. And do you feel like that's easier said than done? Because
oh, yeah.
when...
Yeah,
oh, yeah. For sure. And the reason why I ask that question is because from my standpoint, I look at feminism to be a lot of the things that you've said, but then also being a woman of color,
mm-hmm.
just adds a whole nother
addition.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't speak to that
experience.
Of course.
So. Oh, no, of course,
yeah.
of course. So, you know, like you said, we have a long way
yeah.
to go, and I definitely think that, you know, not we accepting this platform of us being powerful, and we've always had this worth, but also finding that equity too,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, exploring that and
yeah.
just progressing in those areas that we lack in, I think is going
yeah.
to be beneficial. You know, we, like you said, we have a long way to
yeah.
go, but I love you guys' explanation of feminism and that it's an energy, it's a love, it's a compassion, it's us supporting each other.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, before we got here, was just talking about a campaign that she'll speak on. Her name is Lily Singh. She's a YouTube star, and she has this campaign called Girl Love, and it's all about empowering each other and leaving the cattiness behind and just, you know, showing each other love and just giving each other compliments and building that self-esteem that girls have such a hard time developing, you know, throughout their lives. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, totally. I love Lily Singh
yeah.
and all her work. And one thing about her that she really talks about is coming to peace within herself,
mm.
which was a huge part of, like, how she's influencing so many people now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because when she started YouTube, it was a way to cheer herself up.
Mm.
She was really depressed, and she used it as a way to cheer up other people, and cheering up other people made her happy as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But through her whole journey, she had to find this peace in herself and this love for herself,
mm-hmm.
which is a whole aspect that's finally, like, come into life
mm-hmm.
in our communities. It's like realizing that it starts within. It's like, if I love myself and if I can take care of myself, I can
yeah.
do that for everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's what really builds this whole community that we want to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. I love her. I watch mm-hmm. her YouTube page all the time.
Mm-hmm. I want to segue into that.
Yeah.
So from my own experience, I've had some interesting things in the past that I would call tragedies, but now we call them blessings in disguise.
Hmm.
And it really came to a point where it was, now I see it as the neutral observer, and I can either be on a frequency of energy that's fear or love, and more so unconditional love. So I can always have the choice of whatever presents itself as an issue, circumstance, to either take on the role where ego likes to hang out and take the throne and be the reactor and play out the drama.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can always be responsible and be responsive and be aware of the choices. Mm-hmm. So either I can play the victim or I can be empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that we are creators, it's do we want to be responsible or reckless in what we create?
I like that. Thanks for sharing, ladies. You know? So this is also a great segue into you guys discussing what this class is that you guys are taking at the University of Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. You know, when Mel called me, we FaceTimed, and we was on FaceTime for literally like an hour and 45 minutes. And she's just like this completely different person from high school. And I won't talk about how she was in high school. Okay?
How was that in high school?
This is just grumpy little But she showed me so much love still. But now, you know, she just blossomed into this beautiful woman where she's always been. You know, it was really exciting to hear what she had to say about this class. So do you want to start off, Mel, and talk about this class and how it's changed your whole look on life?
For sure. First,
yes,
Lucy has a great way of explaining what spiritual psychology is.
Oh, yes. Let's do it. Go ahead, Lucy. You have the floor.
I did volunteer, so tribute for the group.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, and you know, you can always go to the website, USM, University of Santa Monica, and check out you know, what our teachers, Ron and Mary Holnick, have to say.
Mm-hmm.
They created the school, and they are such beautiful people and have helped so many people in learning how to reorient their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So spiritual psychology is a reorientation, a new, higher perspective to life, and understanding how to see yourself as a soul, having a human experience, coming here to learn a certain amount of things for your growth and upliftment, and the way to use that in daily life is kind of just to understand that there is a purpose for you being here. It's not pointless, it's not super random, and you can go through life understanding that you have a certain support system already in place.
Hmm.
And we would refer to that as, you know, being in touch with the divine self within,
mm-hmm.
being in touch with source, which is spirit, God, creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's non-denominational, but it's very much in alignment with, you know, whatever religious persuasion you might be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
It's that God factor of, you know, I am not alone here. And my life has a greater purpose and meaning than what I thought before,
mm-hmm.
or than I'm not even aware of right now. So using that as a way to build yourself up, and also understanding that what I do in the world, if I'm doing it with love, from a place of love inside of me, then has such a greater reach.
Mm-hmm.
So letting it be okay that I have a certain specific range of interests, talents, and gifts, and it's okay for me to express that openly because that's part of the reason why I'm here. I'm here to express the love that I am, to be in touch with that part of me, and to bring it out in other people by expressing it fully in all that I do. And basically expressing God through me by showing love, accepting others, having compassion, and following my heartfelt dreams.
Mm. Nice. Beautifully said. I love
it. Well said, Lucy.
Yeah. That's why I segued it.
All right, so then what does it mean to you, the class?
Well, I want to talk about my experience first.
Yeah.
So when I first started USM, I was an extremely different person. I would say most of my adolescent and adult life, I was just really upset inside and really angry. And before I started, I was dealing with depression. And I started thinking, like, this was the only way that I was going to, like, possibly get better. Like, if this didn't help me get better, then what was going to help me get better?
Mm-hmm.
And the miracle was the fact that I was able to finally experience the love that I am. Hmm. And, like, before I had no connection to that whatsoever. I just didn't really know that I was a loving person.
Mm.
I thought that I was a burden to this world. And to be able to see that, like, I have purpose, the way that I can see that I have impact and that I can bring so much love to people's lives, and that me being that, mm-hmm. me being all that I am,
mm-hmm.
I can actually heal the world
mm.
just in myself is an absolute miracle. And, like, you wanted me to talk about YouTube a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, like, part of my project for my second year of school was to start a YouTube channel. And originally I started off with a theme of, like, taking a quote and then bringing it to life in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But more so the aspect of it was, like, me being able to, like, follow something that meant so much to me and, like, share it with the world. And that was something I didn't do. And the coolest part about that was, like, being able to see how, like, me honoring me, me expressing me loving me, like, had so much impact on people.
Mm-hmm.
Just by people watching it. Like, that was so cool to me. And also, like, an impact on the world in, like, the smallest portion, because we're all little drops in this ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have the ability to, like, make it magical just mm-hmm. in our own little selves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what we're here to do. Like, right. every single one of us is here to, like, love ourselves, be the love that we are, and then just light up the world that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so, like, this is just coming to mind. I made one video about doing service work,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I went down to, like, Venice Beach, and I, like, brought goodies for the homeless people down there. And I remember, like, the next day after I posted it, a woman came up to me, and she was like, Melody, I've always been so scared of homeless people. And she's like, you completely changed that for me. Mm. Like, now I want to go down there.
Wow.
And literally, in all the videos I made, just having one person say that, like, makes me feel like I made a difference being here by
mm-hmm.
being able to do that one thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's deep. And I love the concept that you have, you know, on her videos. For those who are listening, she takes a quote and then she applies that to her daily life. So she'll do a good deed, like what she just said, by, you know, going down to Venice Beach and feeding the homeless. Or she'll just, I remember a show you did where you made signs in the car. She would have a sign like, you look good today, or have a great day. She'll just, like, flash it on her passenger's, like, window. So for the person next to her, and they'll give a smile or, you know, give a thumbs up or whatever the case is. And I love that. I love that you've applied that to your daily life. But the one thing that's running through my mind when I hear about, you know, just always giving out that love is, what happens on you guys' off days?
Oh.
You know what I mean? When you just don't feel like caring, or, you know, when yeah. someone does upset you.
Yeah.
What have yeah. you guys learned to cope with that? You know, or how do you find that inner
yeah.
love, or, you know, excitement to be able to, you know what I mean?
I totally hear you. I think for me, the difference now is that if I'm having an off day, if I don't feel good, mm-hmm. I don't feel like looking at someone and smiling, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not skipping on a rainbow down the street.
You know, it's right. not always like that.
So if I'm just feeling like, mm-hmm. not today, mm-hmm. not you, not today, mm-hmm. not right now,
mm-hmm.
it's okay, you know, because I'm a human being,
right.
and I'm not meant to be at 100 all of the time, because mm-hmm. that takes a lot of energy. So if I'm having an off day, if I don't feel like talking to someone inside of me, instead of being like, you know, Lucy, you're such an, like, mm-hmm. you're what's wrong with
right,
you, basically.
Right, right.
It's like, you know, I'm just not feeling it today, and that's okay, because I'm allowed to have feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allowed to feel all of my feelings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, it's not personal to anyone. So it's like, I don't have to come at myself like, why are you being so mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if that's not what's present for me right now, then what is present?
Mm-hmm.
And working with myself on that level of, like, okay, I don't have to be feeling happy all the time. What am I feeling right now? And whatever that feeling is, you know, if I feel like journaling about it, if mm-hmm. I just feel like watching Game of Thrones for 3 hours and painting my nails, like, that's okay. It's all good. But I think what else you might be asking is, like, how does that relate to other people? Like, if you're not showing that love, then, mm-hmm. like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, are you still a loving person? Is that gone now? It's like, yeah, you can still be a loving person with a huge heart and so much to give who just so happens to be having a day right now where they don't want to see or talk to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you're having an off day, just let it be okay. Even if you feel angry, let anger be okay. Mm-hmm. I promise you, things will be better mm-hmm. than if you make yourself wrong for being angry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I would even suggest finding a healthy way to express that openly as part of your human experience, part of who you are, part of the range of emotions that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Express that.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it in a way where you're not hurting yourself and you're not hurting others.
Right.
And it's all good. And you're still in the loving.
Yeah. Wonderfully said.
Listen, girl. This is how I approach it.
Mm-hmm.
When we say in your loving, for me, again, unconditional loving, mm-hmm. that reminds me of like a relationship with my mother, mm-hmm. no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's about showing up and basically this, embracing all those aspects. It's not about being perfect. It's about being whole. And when you reclaim those aspects of yourself, which is a wide range, you're reclaiming your holiness, your divinity.
Mm. Mm.
And so I feel when you do show up and those that are present with you and work with you in that, that's what unconditional loving is. Mm-hmm. So you're always there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there is no off day.
Mm-hmm.
And those are those opportunities for major healing, learning, and evolving.
Mm-hmm. Like you were saying earlier, you know, tragedies you turned into blessing in disguises.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal, or how do you give unconditional love to those who have hurt you, you know? And you know, I know a lot of situations. I've met a lot of people who've been abandoned by what you call family members who you are expected to receive unconditional love from.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the people that hurt you the most in some cases, you know? And yeah. It's really unfortunate. And again, you know, killing with kindness, killing with love. But it's interesting to hear you guys' perspective. And it sounds like just a mentality. Like, no matter what you go through, you know, you guys just continue to remind yourselves who you are, you know, your empowerment, your presence, it just gives it off. And I feel like your aura kind of just changes your scenery, your vibe, you know? And I believe
totally,
that.
Totally, totally.
Yeah. So is that the resolution you would say?
Well, just like you said, like your aura changes your vibe, like
mm-hmm.
what you experience.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that they teach us is outer reality is a reflection of inner reality.
Hmm.
So, like, let's say you're getting really triggered by things going on in your life. You're
mm-hmm.
feeling like people are being mean to you, like, aren't mm-hmm. respecting you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take that and look inside. And
mm-hmm.
how am I relating to myself? Am mm-hmm. I being kind to myself? Am I honoring myself? And usually the reason we're getting triggered by things on the outside is because we're not taking care of ourselves of those things on the inside.
Right.
So much of it is ownership and
right.
me having the responsibility to take that and be like, you know, I need to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So for those who...
I mean,
oh, did you want to add that?
Yeah. I recognize that some of what we're saying might be like, what? So I get that. And like a real world example, I think to attempt to answer what you asked is, you know, if someone in your family is hurting you, what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of my experiences that was really hard for me to look at USM was growing up, my older brother is a drug addict.
Mm.
And I lived in the same house with him for a really long time.
Mm.
And he was doing just shady stuff,
mm-hmm.
bringing people into our home, cops coming into my home. You know, he stole things from me. He stole things from my parents. They were fighting all the time. It was an ugly scene.
Mm.
And I felt so
much disgust for my brother. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to say that because it's like, well, you know, he's my brother, but he hurt me for a long time, or I experienced him as hurting me for a long time. Mm-hmm. And what the point that I got to with that is understanding that I'm not responsible for my brother. Mm-hmm. I'm not responsible for the things that he does. I'm not responsible for saving my brother. Mm-hmm. That's not my job.
Right.
You know, what I can do, what's in my power, is to forgive my brother, to forgive myself for the way that I have felt about my brother in the past, and to choose now, like, how do I want to respond to this individual who is a part of my family, who is in my life, you know, who might be in prison, but he's getting out, and then what am I going to do? So I can either carry that disgust in my heart, which will ultimately not really do anything to him, but will be hurting me, or I can say, you know, what is it about this relationship that I can use for my own healing? Mm-hmm. And I see that as the opportunity to unconditionally accept my brother regardless of his behavior and actions, which is not easy. Easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Takes a lot of time and practice, but you know, if you're willing to practice that, you'll see how it blossoms in your life and how it heals your own heart. So for me, the choice that I'm making with my brother now is to have healthy distance. I don't need to be directly involved in his life to love him, right. You know? And for my own safety and healing, I can love my brother from afar. I don't need to look at him and be like, what is wrong with you? You know, like, you are messing up your whole life. It's like, you know what? He's making the choices that he's making. I don't know what's going on inside of him. I don't know what he came here to work on as a soul, if we're talking about that. Mm-hmm. So it's not up to me to judge him. It's really not my job. And thank God, because, you know, I'm done with having that full-time job. I was tired.
Right.
So, yeah. How, if, you know, he brought so much pain into my life in the past, but the beauty of the present moment is that I can choose to think about him and just send him love in my heart and be grateful for whatever I needed to learn by having that relationship in my life and move on.
Yep. That's all you can do, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that's just one example in my personal experience, but it's applicable to all kinds of relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, our parents are the most major relationship in our life, and oftentimes that's not a lot of fun. So it's like, you know, what am I learning about myself through how I'm relating to this person? And can I love them anyways?
Yeah.
Can I look at them and separate who they are from the things that they're doing? And just see, you know what, I don't appreciate your behavior. I'm not even in agreement with it. In fact, I wish you would stop. But who you are beyond that is still someone worthy of love. And I'm going to choose to see that, or do my best to see that, and just appreciate myself for doing my best and extend a lot of love to me to support myself.
Right. Thank you for sharing your personal story, by the way. Didn't have to. Well, ladies, we are going to take a break. And the second part is going to be with my sister, who is visiting from the other side of the coast, from New York.
Ooh.
And we'll share a little bit about her rising success in New York City as a theater major.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Right. All right. So we're going to take a quick music break and we're going to play Drunken Love. But thank you, Melody, Monique, and Lucy, so much. All right.
My pleasure.
I've been drinking. I get filthy when that liquor get it to me. I've been thinking. Why can't I keep my fingers off it, baby? I want you, na-na. Why can't I keep my fingers off you, baby? I want you.
bars on ice. Feeling like an animal with these cameras all in my grill. Flashing lights, flashing lights. You got me pity, 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 baby, I want you.
Resting under these lights, boy, I'm drinking. Walking in my life, 7 minutes. I'm grubbing on the roof, grubbing. If you scared, call that ribbon. Boy, I'm drinking. Keep my brain right. I'm on the brunt, yeah.
Good evening, everyone, and you're listening to Bread and Roses. My name is Jordan Michelle, and you just heard a couple of my guests, Melody, Lucy, and Monica from Los Angeles, who came on the show tonight to speak about their program called Spiritual Psychology at the University of Santa Monica, and it really just encompassed a lot about self-love and woman empowerment and just giving an aura out to their surroundings just to find happiness in everything that they do. And now we're going to transition into speaking with my sister.
Hi.
Her name is Nia. And Nia, did you want to tell our guests a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Like my sister said, I am Nia. I am about to be a senior at Pace University. I am receiving a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Musical Theater. And Pace is located in downtown Manhattan. So I'm a little far away from my sister, which is a little sad, but we see each other now, which is awesome. Yeah.
So Nia's here in Portland this week because her birthday was on Wednesday.
What?
And she just turned 21. And we just so happened to go to the Beyonce World Tour, the Formation World Tour, and
it was amazing.
It was everything.
It was. Like,
you have been the biggest Beyonce fan since I can remember, Nia. So tell us, how was your experience at the concert?
My experience was absolutely amazing. I mean, just... I know there's a lot of people out there who love Beyonce and
love girl or obsessed.
Or obsessed with Beyonce, but I don't know. I feel like there is a reason for it. Her stage presence is everything, you know. Mm-hmm. She gives her 110% for every single performance, and she's doing a world tour, and I think we are possibly well into maybe her 10th show now. Mm-hmm. And her performance was still 100%. It was completely flawless, no pun intended. And it was absolutely amazing. And just her talent alone, not only as an entertainer, but as an artist. Mm-hmm. You know, she's known to be an entertainer, and which we love her for, and which is great. But being a vocalist myself, I look up to her as a vocalist because her voice is just so clean and precise, and she knows her artistry. And that is what I admire about her. And I will be in the Beehive as long as I live.
Right. Me too, girl. I thought the same thing about the show. You know, like you said, she gives her all for every show. She treats every show like it's the last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's her last performance. And her fans really appreciate her for that. You know, it started to, we went to Seattle. For those who went, we went to Seattle in the CenturyLink Stadium, and it started raining, and she was acting as if
it was nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really lightly drizzling, but still, it was just...
It didn't faze her.
It didn't faze her at all. She didn't wipe her face. She didn't, you know, do anything to get out of character. And I just love and appreciate her hard work, because I think this is like her second or third... Well, her second tour within
a year and a half
almost. Yeah, like I remember attending her Beyonce concert for her last album, and literally... Miss Carter tour. And 2 days later, Beyonce's album came out. Mm-hmm. And then she had a tour with Jay-Z the following summer. And then now here we are. Well, this past summer, right? It was this mm-hmm. last summer I that we had. So, yeah. And now she's already on her next tour. And maybe that's like a frequent thing for most artists, but I don't even think so.
I don't think so.
She made a whole movie out of this this current album, Lemonade. And she's just killing it. She does not sleep. She works hard, you know, and that's why I respect her. You know, besides all the obsession and praising Beyonce because she's Beyonce, she slayed, da da da. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. But I respect her for her strict, you know, focus mm-hmm. workmanship.
Right.
I think that's the biggest thing for me.
Definitely.
And just all the detail. I want to know who her team is as far as her visual, her designs, like all that. Just everything that got put into the show was just amazing. Amazing, amazing. And the fact that she's multi-talented, can dance, sing, and her singing sounds just like her singing on her albums. Like,
which is very rare.
That is so rare.
Yeah.
So, so rare. And she can still remix her songs, but it still sounds like Beyonce. Mm-hmm. You know, the songs.
Seamless.
Perfect, yeah. Right? Right?
Most definitely.
So, your rise to New York. Tell us a little bit about why you got into musical theater, Nia.
I first, like my sister, I started off doing television. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. Don't get me wrong. It was amazing. And I didn't really know I could sing, you know, at the beginning. I was in choir, church choir, when I was little, just because my dad and my sister were in it. And so I wanted to be like them and do it as well. But it just started to grow on me. And the first time I realized that I wanted to do this was very ironic story. Me and my sister, we went to go support one of our friends in their tiny elementary school version of Wicked. The girl that was playing Alphaba, her name is Isabella Moore. Shout out to my girl, Isabella. And she was playing Alphaba, and she was killing it. And I looked up at her. She was in fifth grade at the time. I looked up at her, and I said, I want to do that. I feel like I can do that. You know, let alone I still didn't know I could sing. But I just looked at her, and I was like, that is amazing what she's doing up there. And this is fifth grade year old Nia as well. And then we ended up going to middle school, and she ended up in my class. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's that girl that I saw in Wicked. And from then on, we became best friends. And since then, she's taken me with her on her theater journey. We started to perform in community theater at Metropolitan Educational Theater Network. And you know, my first show was Annie. And I got to play one of the orphans named Duffy. And then I found out I could sing actually during that show when they spontaneously cast me as Star to Be also in that show. And from then on, I just took off and fell in love with it. I ended up following Isabella also to high school. And we went to Santa Susana Performing Arts Magnet. Started doing a whole bunch of shows there, and I said, I think I want to do this for the rest of my life. This is a passion of mine. And so I said, I'm going to Pace. That's what I'm doing. And got into the performing arts there, and I absolutely love it. It is everything I want and more. What I love about my school is that they're not trying to put us in a musical theater cookie cutter. And then we're very prideful of that as well. And so they want us to be the best artists we can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I absolutely love about my school. And shout out to Pace University. If you were looking for an awesome theater program, acting or musical theater, look it up. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
good stuff. So what has your experience in New York been like? You know, I hear the saying, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. Mm-hmm. So is that true? What is it like?
I actually do kind of agree with that statement, just because New York is such a hustle and bustle. I actually never went to New York until I attended Pace University. So it was a little bit of a shock to the system, but at least for me and my personal experience, it was a little bit adaptable. Mm-hmm. Just as long as you're focused on what you know you want to accomplish and what you want to do, mm-hmm. I think that anybody can make it in New York. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take a lot of commitment. But I can definitely say that if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. You know, we're from LA, and yes, LA is that city where everyone wants to go to make it big, just like New York. But I feel like it's a little bit harder in New York City. They're very different. People think that LA and New York are the same, but they are quite different, from transportation to the weather, mm-hmm. to even the people. And I think that one thing that is super important in New York is networking. Mm-hmm. And I think that you will go far in New York if you get yourself out there and communicate with people and kind of just find your niche and your networking system to where you can branch out. Unfortunately, it is kind of about who you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I've actually had the opportunity at my school, through my school, mm-hmm. to work with amazing people in the industry. Mm-hmm. This year alone, I was in two shows, one show called Bernarda Alba, and I got to work with the original choreographer for that show. Her name is Graziella Daniela, and she, you know, she showed us exactly how they did it on Broadway. And we did exactly what they did on Broadway, and I got to pick her brain and figure out how the industry worked, and she made it very personal, and we got to hear the reason why the musical was written. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was super, super, super important. And then, which I absolutely love, that I actually got to work with the protege of Graziella, who is Miss Bjorkli, who was the original Connie in A Chorus Line, and she put on our Pace University's version of A Chorus Line just this past April. Mm-hmm. Yes, this past April. And it was a magical experience. Now, when people say specific, Bjork is specific. We had to hit every mark, every number, had to have every inflection to a T. Mm-hmm. And though it was very, very difficult and very hard, it was the most fulfilling experience that I could ever encounter. Mm-hmm. She is just so passionate about her work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you feed off of it, mm-hmm. you know, and she's been doing this for years. Mm-hmm. This was their 40-year anniversary. Our performance was their 40-year anniversary. Mm. And she's been doing it for 40 years.
So what about the stage just gives you such pleasure in wanting to make it a lifetime career?
That's kind of funny, because it segues off of what the other ladies were talking about, is that I like the joy that it brings people. Not only for myself, but the joy that we can bring to the audience. Mm. I know that when I sit in the audience of a Broadway show or any show alone, no matter if the show is sad or happy, I come out, A, learning something and feeling a certain way. And I don't know, I've given myself a goal, mm-hmm. that a daily goal of making at least three people laugh. Mm-hmm. That's my goal, mm-hmm. every single day. Mm-hmm. And doing theater, I get to make hundreds of people laugh at mm-hmm. once, if I possibly can. And I don't know, I think I that's what kind of drives me to do what I love to do.
Yeah. So what kind of hustling do you have to do? You know, I know it's not easy to book gigs all the time, and to keep a roof over your head.
Yes.
You know, so how do you balance all of those things?
It's super difficult, especially because I'm in school as well. Mm-hmm. My curriculum is very, very strenuous, and mm-hmm. I have to take 18 credits a semester, which is the max that you could take at my school. And on top of that, I'm, You know, I work as a caterer assistant, a note taker. I'm a resident assistant at my school and a desk attendant at my school. And
a nanny, aren't you?
And a nanny. And I nanny some kids. That's a good job. If you're ever in New York and you need a job with good money, nanny somebody. And you've got to keep the hustle. Just because it's New York, I'm going to just say it, it's expensive. It's very, very expensive in New York. And something related to everything when you're there is don't give up. A great actor named Sutton Foster said that who's super famous right now in the theater world, it took her 200 auditions before she got her first Broadway show.
Wow.
200 auditions. And so, I might only be 50 auditions in. Mm-hmm. So I've got some time, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going until I hopefully fulfill my goals.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. We're coming towards the end of the show, but I definitely want to share your voice with our audience. So if you want to give just a snippet of a cappella, or are you going to play it?
Yeah,
how do you want to do that?
I think we got the song ready.
You have the song ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yeah? The song? Oh, okay. Okay. So what are you going to sing for us before we start?
I am going on with the Beyonce theme here.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to sing a Listen for you guys.
Ooh, all right then. All right. And go whenever you're ready.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find release. Oh, the time has come for my dreams to be heard. They will not be pushed aside and turned into your own, all 'cause you won't listen.
Home in my own home.
course.
Thank you for singing me. I was really trying to talk her into it, guys.
She did it.
All right, Nia. So thank you again for doing that.
Thank you for having me, Jay.
Have you ever had any experience singing in a studio?
Never.
Never had experience singing.
This is my first time, and I mean, this is a studio, and I set one up in my little dorm room when I can, mm-hmm. but no, I have not. That would be a dream come true if I could ever get in a recording studio and actually record some things.
Well, now that you've sang that so beautifully, before you leave Portland, actually tonight after we leave the studio, I have set up a studio session for you.
You're kidding!
With Dre Slaps. Shout out to Dre Slaps, who is a local Portland DJ.
No, you're kidding.
Who is also a producer. You can buy his beats online, actually, at DreSlaps.com. And yes, we have set up an appointment for you to perform in a studio to record a song of your choice so you can take it home with you.
I can't believe that. Thank you, Jordan. Oh, my
you're
gosh.
You're welcome, love. You're welcome.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, you guys, thank you for tuning in tonight. You are listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO. My name is Jordan Michelle. Have a great evening.
And footprints on my glass, handprints and good grips all on my private show with the music blasting. He likes to call me features when we get there.